And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
So welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and our theme in the second hour is business and making money. Each of my guests is explaining some aspect of business or how we make money. My first guest is an historian who gave us the history behind income taxes in America from his book, The Interesting History of Income Taxes. My next guest is a serial entrepreneur and inventor. He holds more than 15 patents and he started more than 10 companies, and he's considered an internet entrepreneur and pioneer. We'll discuss why being an entrepreneur is the most secure job position to have during difficult economic times from his book, Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to speak to Bill Tobin, you can call us at 639-0008. Bill Tobin started 10 companies, invented many products, holds 15 patents, and waged and won battles against some of the largest corporations in the world. Bill figured out how to make money during the birth of the internet as far back as 1994. Bill was raised in a city-assisted housing project in New York City and rose to become Inc. Magazine's Entrepreneur of the Year and was selected one of the top 100 marketing executives by Ad Age Magazine. We'll talk about his book, Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor, which is part memoir, part tutorial, and firsthand account of many of his startup companies. Welcome to the show, Bill. How are you today?
Thank you very much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on, especially somebody who has been such an entrepreneur as you have. Let's start, though, with why is the United States such a good place for that? The free market, you say, is based on having creative ideas, and if you have one, you know how to sell it. You're going to make money, and certainly you have done that. Why is the U.S. capitalist system the best system for starting a business, in your opinion?
In my opinion, the U.S. capital system is less cumbersome than any other country. I've been involved in starting companies in many other countries, and it's less cumbersome. You have an idea, especially in the age of the internet, and you have to have the conviction and the nerve to follow it through. And if you do, chances are you'll make money.
Well, conviction and nerve, we'll come back and touch on those because that is certainly critical to being an entrepreneur. And I want to get the secret sauce from you on that. But first, just to set the stage for my listeners, tell us about some of the businesses that you've started. In particular, tell us about how you capitalized on the internet when it first became popular.
Well, I was looking at Prodigy, and I knew that IBM and Sears had put a bunch of money in Prodigy. And I went to their board of directors, and I picked an area that I thought would be a winner, which was flowers, because of the fact that there's an event every month. You don't have to be so creative. Garden Society has created events for this particular product category. They loved the idea. Well, I then went out to FTD and presented it to their board of directors and president, and they told me that they thought it was the worst idea they ever heard. So I came back convinced that I wanted to do this simply because I thought it would work. And I knew in my gut I felt it would work. So I contacted a friend of mine from college who was in the flower business, and asked him to come into business with me. And we bought three flower stores, FTD flower stores in the Virginia area, and set up a kludge system to inject the orders into the FTD network to the florist that he knew would be able to fulfill the orders properly. That was 1988 when Prodigy had 50,000 members.
Wow.
then they ramped up in 89, and in 90, they did a full launch and gained 1 million members. And so we had to get more proficient in our injection system to to inject the orders. By 1991-92, we were doing $6 million a year on Prodigy, which was more than all the other service providers combined.
Incredible.
And I recognized that Prodigy was writing a Harvard Business School case study book on how to be early, how to have all the funds, and how to lose it. And so they had some great people, great content, but they didn't embrace the Internet early on. In 1993, I went out and met with a bunch of venture capitalists and bankers and told them my idea of starting a floral business on the Internet. They thought that the Internet was a non-commercial entity and strictly for research. So I went back to IBM, and they had an electronic services division, and they were eyeing the Internet. And I convinced them to develop a website with PC Flowers, and I added some gifts, and I would be the Trojan horse for their, what I called, electronic mall.
Mm-hmm.
So they could then bring in other people and give them all the services that they gave me. Well, we launched in 94, and I realized in 94 that you needed credibility. It was a Wild West show in 94, the Internet, and I had credibility on the Prodigy Network because of IBM and Sears, and the people knew that if they weren't happy, they would get their money back. Well, on the Internet, I thought I would try and use that same business model, and I developed what was called the Consumer Incentive Traffic Program, where I would go to all the major websites and convince them to put up a banner, and I would give them 10% of every sale.
Wow.
Well, in order to do that, you have to be able to track who's sending you the order and when the consumer comes back from another site.
Mm-hmm.
So I developed this token program that we put into the URL of everybody that sent us an order and the consumer. And that was basically the start of affiliate marketing. And then I co-branded a year later the product that the site, which so it looked like the site you were on was really selling you the flowers.
Wow.
They would be seamlessly transported to my site. And by 1997, we had 2,700 sites up and running. So we avoided having to spend a fortune in order to get ubiquitous exposure on the web.
That's phenomenal. We're talking to Bill Tobin, everybody, a serial entrepreneur and also author of the book, Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor. And Bill, a couple of times in describing the businesses that you've set up, you really talked about the courage that it took for you in the face of people turning you down. And you mentioned many large corporations that turned you down with your ideas. So talk to us a little bit, if you will, please, about having the right idea, but then also having the courage of your convictions to stand up and do it as an entrepreneur. Because I'm sure a lot of people have good ideas, but they lack that second component, the courage or the conviction that it's going to work.
Well, there's one element I want to throw in there. If you are heavily in debt personally, it is a detriment to becoming a successful entrepreneur. You can't worry about your personal debt and start a business as well. So you have to have your personal debt under control before you take your idea out. And I just told you that FTD laughed me out of the room. And then 3 years later, I was able to rent 5,000 feet from them and put my my operations office in their headquarters because we were the largest member of FDD.
Impressive.
So I have been discouraged by many, many people, but you got to stay with it. I remember a story that might be amusing. In the 60s, New York City was the capital, printing capital and advertising capital of the world.
Right.
And then everybody was printing sheet bed, where the sheets came into the presses. But there was a new technology out that I discovered, various plants, way out in the boonies, because you needed a lot of space for a sheet, a web spread plant. And so I sold the Prudential calendar to Prudential based on web-fed printing prices. Unfortunately, when they decided to print, the presses that I was using, they were printing dirty magazines.
Pornography.
And we had three little pussycats on the Prudential calendar. And the guys decided at the last minute to want to see everything on the press. Well, I was horrified. And so I came up with the idea to run cables on the ceiling with canvas. And so they could only see the press that was printing their particular job, and I told them that the other presses were printing and sensitive information for an IPO for a major brokerage firm in New York. So you have to be creative, and you have to be really kind of never reinventing yourself every minute of every hour of every day.
Absolutely true. We're talking to Bill Tobin, everybody, author of the book Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor. And it's in that second role, Bill, as an inventor that you really garnered your 15 patents. So tell us about the patents, the different types of patents, and some of the patents that you applied for, and ultimately some of the patents you had to defend in legal litigation.
Well, there are three kinds of patents, in my opinion. A vanity patent, which you get a few claims, and you can get it for $2,500, and you can hire a very small firm and get it, and you put it on your wall, and you tell everybody you've got a patent. In fact, it's pretty much totally worthless. The second kind of patent is a patent where you want to keep pending so that you can protect your idea or service, and so you want to put patent pending on it, and that's a defensive patent. The third patent that everybody aspires to is a patent where you will collect royalty. Well, that's the patent that is a major investment, and you would be wise to convince a major law firm to become your partner in this patent. For instance, we secured the patent for tracking and affiliate marketing and co-branding, and we were issued the patent in 2000. We sued AOL on the Rocket Docket in Virginia, and the reason it's called the Rocket Docket is you can bring to fruition a suit within 6 months. Well, major corporations will spend any amount of money rather than give you a royalty because they don't want a partner. And so they found a publication printed by MIT where two professors were pontificating on the future of the Internet, and they touched on my invention. And the patent office sided with AOL and said that That was prior auth. And those are the killer words in patent. Prior auth. And we spent the next 9 years getting those claims back. And in 2009, we were successful in getting them back. But I would tell you that this type of patent is not for the weak of heart or the weak of wallet. Unless you get a patent attorney, a major firm, to come in on a partnership basis, you're talking, and I won't give you the number for our patent.
But just give us the number of figures in the number. How's that?
Well, millions.
All right, we're talking to Bill Tobin, everybody. Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor is his book. Bill, what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor?
I wrote the book. I am not happy with the direction that this country is going. And I wrote the book for those guys that have been outsourced. And the days of cradle to grave security are gone. And so I wrote the book for guys that are suddenly in their 50s and 60s, and they've been outsourced. And I wanted to give them an idea based on the fact that I would give them 10 companies and open my kimono to them and tell them what worked for me, what didn't work for me, how to protect your assets, how to protect your family, what worked and what didn't work. And I thought it would be a primer to help guys that would want to start a company but they are afraid, and school kids who are graduating and can't find a job. In this electronic age, it's easier than ever to come up with an idea and to make it a success. But it doesn't have to be necessarily in the electronic age. It can be something that you're familiar with, something that you know about from your previous job and from your previous experience, and that could be what you decide to become an entrepreneur.
And nothing is more helpful than having the wisdom and experience behind it. We've been talking to Bill Tobin, everybody, author of the book Confessions of a Compulsive Entrepreneur and Inventor. Bill, if people want to learn more about you, want to learn more about your book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
My website is williamjtobin.com. And they can find out all about the book and all about my background, the companies I've started, the patents I've got. It's very informative.
Oh, that's great. WilliamJTobin.com. Bill, it has been a pleasure talking to you here with Bill on Billy the Brain, brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.